He's acquainted with our grief, the man of sorrow, son of
sorrow. You're listening to your good news station, WCNO Palm City.
The following program was recorded at an earlier date.
Welcome to the Mindy Molina Show. I'm Mindy Molina, investment advisor representative, licensed insurance agent, and fiduciary. This is a live show, and I'll be here to take your calls at 772-221-1100 with any of your financial concerns. Again, that's 772-221-1100. Hello, friends. This is Mindy Molina, and you're listening to the Mindy Molina Show here on WCNO 89.9 FM. This is a live show. So if you have any input or question or a story to share, I love stories, please, by all means, give us a call at 772-221-1100. Again, 772-221-1100. You can find me at MindyMolina.com, and that's Mindy with an I-E, M-I-N-D-I-E, last name Molina, M-O-L-I-N-A. I'm a financial advisor and investment advisor. I have a insurance agency as well. And this show is really about educating, bringing you as much knowledge and insight as I can to equip you to be the absolute best that you can be financially, and give you as much advice and really encourage you and inspire you to take action, to take control, to do the things that God needs you to do to be a good steward of your money that you work hard for, okay? Or that somebody is working hard for. Maybe you're a business owner and you don't have to labor like some of the world, but most money financially comes on the backs of someone, and it deserves to be respected and used wisely and honored in the name of the Lord. So this verse I'm going to start us out with is Proverbs 21, verse 21:5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. I'm going to read it again. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. So if you are struggling, then let your ears hear these words, and perhaps you're being a little too hasty. And if you are in abundance and you want to continue that, build on that, then for sure being diligent is the key according to this verse. So we're emphasizing the importance of planning, the importance of being disciplined, the importance of being thoughtful in your approach to your finances. And it's going to make it so that you're more likely to achieve financial prosperity. And that's what God wants for you. He wants his plans for you to prosper you. And those of us that are hasty or impulsive are more prone to financial hardship. How do we prevent being hasty? How do we prevent being impulsive? I will be the first one to tell you that Amazon, the app, buy now button, I'm not sure if it is making me more organized with my spending or if I am impulsive. So the jury's still out. But one of the things that I like about online shopping for me is that I don't buy things extra. It's like I want this, I go, I get that one thing, I move on. Versus strolling through the aisles and being tempted to add more and more to the cart. However, that being said, it's so easy. So it's so easy to purchase something that maybe you wouldn't purchase because you would have to get into your car and go to the store and put all this other effort into it. So the jury's still out. I am a big online shopper, mostly because I'm very busy with my business, with my kids, with this show. I juggle a lot of things. And so I'm all about delivery. I'd say I have a delivery problem at my house. I have even had my groceries delivered. Everything gets delivered. And I'm okay. It's really helping me be efficient in my life right now. But it is one of the things that I think I have to work on. You have to recognize, right, what some of your loose ends might be and handle those, manage those. So today's show is all about being financially organized and the importance of that and how being financially organized can keep you from being the last part of that verse. But everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. That is the part we need to do away with. And the best way to do away with that is to put thought, be diligent, lead. You want to be ahead of your finances. Okay, to lead means don't figure it out once the money comes. You want to be in charge and already have that plan. Okay, so you're in front of the money when the money comes. That's where I see that word lead. The need for diligence, constantly monitoring your expenses, right? Constantly monitoring your investments, constantly monitoring your income. So being diligent means being consistent and paying attention, doing your due diligence, putting the work in, okay? And that's what I tell people when they come to me initially. Look, I try to do this in a 3-meeting process. I can take you from having what just a kind of a financial mess or fragmented, undirected, really just a lot of different accounts, like the junk drawer of finances, whether it's insurances, it's all of it, your bills, your insurances, all of your bank accounts. You've got this CDs here, annuities here, life insurance here. You've got investments, 401ks, 2 or 3 401ks. You've got this investment with this friend and that friend. And the reality of it is you just have a bunch of stuff pieced together, when what we really want you to do is take you from that. And in 3 meetings, take you to the final step, which is a very direct, organized financial plan that is designed specifically to get you to your end goal, whatever those end goals or goal may be. One of them is probably retirement, right? I'm investing to retire. I'm not investing because I'm friends with this guy who works here, and the lady at the bank said I've got too much in my savings, so I got that. And my cousin's wife started selling life insurance, so I got a life insurance policy. Like, this is how people get stuff, financial stuff, when really you should be so dialed in to what you need in order to achieve what you want that you go and say, I need one of these. And which is going to be the best? What shop the companies? Okay, so that's the mindset I want you to think about, is get away from having this mismatched financial household and instead having a very dialed in approach that says, this is what I need to get me to achieve what I want. All right, so let's just kind of jump in here and talk about how do we get, what are, here are 10 different ways, all right? I'm going to run through these 10 ways that we're going to touch on during the show of how you can become financially organized, and I'm going to dive into each little one. First one is all about the show. Second, your emergency fund. Third is debt, right? Dealing with debt. Fourth, automating your investments. And five, where did I go? Oh. Review insurance, all of your insurance things, whether it's life insurance, annuities, all of that. Organize your financial documents, documentation, what you need to keep for how long. What's the best strategy to do that? 7, establish clear financial goals. What is it that you're trying to achieve? What do you want? Credit reports, monitoring your credit, estate planning, and finally, professional guidance. What type of professionals do you need to get in order to get organized? So these are all the things. This is a great time. There's so much opportunity out there for you, okay? There's so much opportunity. There's so many elements of change. This is a really great season of opportunity, of change, of positive outcomes. And I'm really encouraging you and inspiring you. Right now is the time to get organized. Now is the time. You know, we can be very lackadaisical when it comes to all of these things because it feels overwhelming. And I've had many people tell me, not just one, but several say, well, we didn't do this or that because we got overwhelmed. Why? Because the financial advisors, you sit down with the financial advisor and they overwhelm you because it does feel like there's so many things that need to happen. And I'll be honest, that is overwhelming. And this was one of the biggest things that I struggled with in this industry. And that's why I built my own practice, was to take that overwhelming experience away. I figured out a way that I can walk you through a very simple process that helps you get organized without feeling overwhelmed or feeling like this is so much work. If you put the work into, you know, those three visits via Zoom, in my office, over the phone even, you know, we don't have to overcomplicate it. I love simplicity. I love efficiency. And I love positive outcomes. So, but my main thing is working with people who take it serious, right? Do you really want to get organized and get on a good track so that when you go to work every day for the next year, 3 years, 10 years, 20 years, everything that you're working for is moving you toward the right, in the right direction, that you're not being taken advantage of, you're not just being sold something, but that you are actually dialed into your financial objectives and you are being diligent to create abundance. So if you're serious about that, absolutely. If you put in the work, I put in the work, and this goes smoother than you could ever imagine. It doesn't have to be overwhelming. Where does it start? It starts with a budget. And it's funny, when I do these meetings, the very first meeting is really like when we talk, it's all about finding out what you currently have. And that means what accounts do you have, whether it's at the bank, at a custodian like Fidelity, Vanguard, Empower, where's your 401k, IRAs, investment accounts, brokerage accounts, whatever you have. Going through that, money markets, checking, savings, just finding out what you have. What expenses do you have? How are these expenses going to change over time, right? Like if you have a mortgage, well, are you going to have a mortgage for life or is it going to be paid off in 10 years? Did you just take it out? Do you have a 7% or 2%? Where are we in all of these things? How's inflation going to impact property taxes? How's inflation going to impact groceries? We account for inflation on all of these things. What do you expect to get? Social Security, any unexpected expenses that might come up or expenses that are going to go away. Car loan, for example, probably going to pay it off eventually. So these things we take into account because ultimately we want to design your expenses, your daily life, what you spend today impacts how you get to your end goal. What you're trying to achieve is heavily impacted by what you spend to live the life that you're living. And then once you have that, then we're able to start to organize. So that budget is really important, and you'd be surprised. I sit with people, couples, individuals. I walk you through the questions. For example, how much is your car insurance? Okay, thank you. How much do you pay in electric roundabout? Okay, how much do you pay for cell phone? I ask you all the questions, and before you know it, you've answered them all, and now we have a really clear perspective of what your budget is. So that is phase one, is getting all of that information. So that's the budget is a really powerful part, and if you're meeting with an advisor and they're not dialing into your budget, if they're not asking you those questions, get another advisor, because you're just being sold something. They're not taking you under their wing and building a financial, you know, abundance for you. They're just here. We invest. That's it. Move on. If they're not asking you about your budget and really breaking it down and finding out where you are and how we need to protect you from ever running out of money, they're doing you a disservice. Okay. The next is the emergency fund. Okay. And this is another big thing that people sometimes, I would say, take for granted and get disorganized with it. So I'm meeting with a family, and we sit down, and they're looking at, and we go through all their accounts. Well, they have like 7 bank accounts. It's like, well, okay, if there was an emergency and you needed money, let's say the AC goes out and now you need $7,000, where would it come from? Well, we would take some from there, some from here. We could go there. We could go here. I'm like, okay. An emergency fund for me is immediate liquidity, and it needs to be a minimum of $10,000. That's for the average American that is established, $10,000 should be about the minimum because everything that breaks costs $3,000 or more. And for the older you get, the more liquidity you need, right? Or the wealthier you are, the more liquidity you need. So but just for bare minimum, $10,000. And having an emergency fund is really, really important. Sometimes I have people come to me and they're ready to start investing, and I value that so much. But what they're trying to invest is money that should just be in their savings to protect them from having to go into debt, because they end up investing and going into debt, and it's one step forward, one step back. Sometimes one step forward, two steps back. Sometimes 3 steps back. When the market goes down and you're getting buried in debt. So there's a strategic way to approach the process of becoming established. If you're already established and you want to continue your abundance, the emergency fund is ready, available, and the majority of my clients keep hundreds of thousands in the bank. There's nothing wrong with that. But the key is knowing that if something major happened at your house, that you can just write a check for it. You don't have to call your investor to get funds transferred over. You need that liquidity. Okay, the emergency fund. All of the other money needs to be invested, working for you, appreciating, preferably invested in things that appreciate, not depreciate in value, whether that's real estate, whether that's your 401k, your IRAs, brokerage accounts, investing in the stock market, investing in insurance products like an annuity, investing in business, invest in something that's going to bring you a return. All of the other money needs to be in what I call the nest egg. So that's a three. It's very simple. You need to organize like this. You have an expense account, which is all about that budget that we talked about in the first step. Getting your budget, all the money coming in and your income, all your expenses going out, day-to-day living. These are not big one-offs, but day-to-day living. For those of you who are retired and it becomes a little more tight with your unlimited income, one thing that I recommend is in that expense account, the things that you can pay annually, pay from your nest egg. For example, if you're getting required minimum distributions, use those to pay your homeowner's insurance for the year or property taxes for the year instead of factoring these things monthly. Any insurance like premiums, life insurance, long-term care insurance, pay those for the year out of your nest egg to free up that flow in your expense account. But you have an expense account, typically a checking. All of your income comes in there. All of your bills come out. Done. And your expenses, gas, groceries. So the whole budget that we figured out, we want to lock that in because we want enough income going in there to cover your day-to-day life and avoid you having to use credit cards or pull money from your emergency fund. Okay, so income into that account is very, very, very crucial to being organized. Then you have your emergency fund. So you have your expense account, section one. Section two is your emergency fund, and that money is just sitting there, maybe in a money market, but super liquid. And then everything else falls in number three, which is nest egg. Grow, grow, grow. Grow, baby, grow. That is what we want, all right? So everything else is going to be over there on that investment side. Locking in, dialing in that emergency fund. And listen, you don't need all these bank accounts. You don't need all of these bank accounts. Consolidate, get organized, and simplify. Because the simpler it is, the more diligent you can be. But when you have all these accounts spread out and you have a little money here and a little money there and some money over there, you're not being diligent because you're overwhelming yourself. Be efficient, simplify. Know where your money is, know why it's there, and know exactly what it's earning and what its purpose is. You will be super dialed in if you just follow this three-part system of organizing all of your money. Expense account, emergency fund, everything else. Now, let's talk about the everything else part of it, which is your investments, okay? Automating these investments and having a directive for them. So there's a lot of different things here to talk about. One, if you're still working, you're contributing to your 401k, that usually comes out of your paycheck. That's automated, right? How do people end up with these big 401ks? Because it's automated. It just came out. They didn't have to physically do it. There's so much power in that. So if you set it up and now you have your budget all dialed in, you know your income is enough to cover these expenses, you know what you can afford, and you work that into your budget to contribute to the nest egg, to keep adding to that in addition to your 401ks or your 403bs, 457s, your retirement accounts. Now you have a clear mindset on, can I afford to contribute more? And if so, how much? And then you set it up and it's happening. It just is part of this ongoing system, this structure, this machine, this financial machine that you're building. And you can't really know how to do that. You shouldn't just wing it, because what's going to happen? Now you're going to have to sell off some of those investments to pay for something that came up, or you end up using a credit card and paying astronomical interest when you shouldn't be doing that. So having that perfect strategy, building that out is so much easier than you realize. And then you know exactly what you're doing and why. So setting that up to contribute. Now, let's say you're retired and you have all of your accounts and you're not contributing anymore. Now you're in a distribution phase of life where you're taking money from your nest egg. It's kind of the same, exact same concept, but flipped. We need that budget. We need to know exactly what needs to go in that expense account. And we don't want to distribute any more money than necessary. We want to meet our obligations and our expenses and not have to think about it. We want the money to just show up automatically, right? And then everything else. And sometimes we say, all right, well, let's say you need an extra $2,000 a month in retirement. And we say, okay, you've got $2 million in assets. And you say, and what I would say to you is, one scenario might be, hey, if we take $400,000 of this money and we set it aside to that alone will provide enough income for you for the rest of your life. You're never going to run out of money based on your current lifestyle. And done. Now, all the other money, the other $1.5 million, can work, and we don't have to tap into it, because if there is a down market, you don't want to have to sell when values are low, because it's very difficult to get back to where you were. So that's called sequence of returns. You can look that up on YouTube. Did a whole show on it as well. But the main thing is having, again, a very mapped out strategy to keep you from ever running out of money. No matter what the market does, you don't run out of money. No matter what kind of health crisis comes up in retirement, you don't run out of money. So these things are all about having a proper strategy, and it's just about planning and putting a little work in the beginning, so that when you are invested, you know that you're investing based on your needs and what you are trying to achieve, right? So let me take a little sip here. There's something else I want to talk about. My little afternoon coffee is type of investments. So, you know, we're seeing so many breakthroughs in the market, so many opportunities. And I just want to tell you that you do not want to be sitting on the sidelines. You also don't want to just invest all of your money without a good financial strategy like I just talked about. We want to have a laid out plan of what we're trying to accomplish. One of the first things that I do when I meet with someone is figure out how much interest do they need to earn in order to never run out of money. Okay. So, and it doesn't matter if you have $1 million or $10 million, I can tell you, you need to earn 8.72% year over year in order to never run out of money. Or you're good. You could live the rest of your life and never run out of money if you bury it in the backyard. Or, hey, we're really going to have to step it up because you need to average over 13% in order to make it for the rest of your life. So that's one of the things I want to figure out is how much interest do you actually need to earn to never run out of money? Then I know what our objective is and how much risk we need to take and or how much risk we don't need to take. And then we can make our decisions on how we're going to invest with that knowledge, because I want you to be as educated and, again, in have as much insight and knowledge about your financial household and strategy as you possibly can. So that way, you know, you're making the right decisions. And then we can say, all right, so one of the things I want to talk about in terms of investments is the different types of management styles. So if you have your nest egg, okay, we got our budget all dialed in. We have our emergency fund set that, forget it. Hope nothing happens. If it does, oh well, we're going to refund it, refuel it with our nest egg. But now we have this nest egg. How are we going to manage it? Here's what happens. And I get so frustrated. I've actually been working on this book, it's a manuscript right now, but it hasn't been published. I'm still finding the right publisher. But the one of the frustrations, one of the chapters is about this. It's about how a lot of people who are invested in their 401ks, 403bs, 457s, retirement accounts, they're going to work. This money is getting contributed in there, and it's not getting the attention that it deserves, that the American people deserve, because people who work hard deserve better. You deserve, people who are going to work every day and contributing to these accounts deserve the absolute top tier investments. Those 401ks should be, growing at the same rate as some of our politicians' investment accounts. Would you agree? But are they? No. They're in these accounts. They're managed in a very passive, non-tactical way. And I'm going to explain to you the difference. See, for me, when you have someone, especially someone who's wealthy, they have tactical managers. This is what happens. They go to private wealth managers who tactically manage their money. So think about that word, tactical. When I say the word tactical, I picture a soldier, right? Like geared up, ready for anything. They are ready for anything. And they are got their eye down the scope and they're going through wherever they're going to into battle. They're tactical. They're not laying on the couch. These are soldiers, like ready to go at all times, ready at all times. That is how you want your management team to be. That's how you want your analysts to be. That's how you want all of your trading activity to be managed in a tactical way, because the opposite is in a passive way, a passive management. That's where you put the money in the funds and you go home and take a nap. And if somebody ever calls and says, hey, I think we should do something different. My friends all made 30% last year and I made 7. Okay, you get off the couch and then you go and you try to put it into some other passive style. And that's where the 401k element has gotten trapped. So people who are retiring now or are about to retire or who are working and dream of retirement one day, is your account being tactically managed or is it in passive fund? Like target funds, in my opinion, are one of the worst things because that is by design passive. Oh, you know, you're 30 years old, you're going to retire in 2055, so we're going to put you in the 2055 fund. Okay, come back in 2055. That's passive. That is set it, forget it, walk away. Who cares who's president? Who cares what industries are booming? Maybe it's tech, maybe it's biotech or meds, maybe it's retail, who knows? But it doesn't matter because you're, you know, in the market per se, but you're not actually taking advantage of the opportunities because you're not in a tactical management, managed investment style. So tactical means it focuses on the short-term opportunities and market timing, actively reallocating based on market conditions. So for example, hey, the market's bad. Let's move to cash. Thank you. Yes. Let's not just ride it down and then ride it back up. Let's step aside, preserve what we've got, and then take advantage when we get back in at the bottom instead of trying to get back what we lost. Let's grow from that point and take advantage of that upswing. That's tactical management. There's no buy and hold strategy where you just ride it out. No, the market will average 10% over time. No, we don't want that. We want to get 50%, 80%. We're not being pacified by 5 to 10, okay? So tactical is the key. We only use tactical managers. There's no reason for anyone to be in a passive strategy unless you're managing it yourself, and that's on you. Active tactical management. It's so you want to outperform and take advantage of things that are coming on, coming into the market, like stocks that are about to boom. You want to take advantage of that. Sectors that are about to boom. You want to take advantage of that. So, okay, well, enough about that. One of the other things is debt. Okay. Managing, looking out for debt. Again, I can't express it enough. If you don't get your budget dialed in and your expenses and versus income and your income coming in and only spending what you can afford to spend, then you are going to end up relying on debt, relying on credit cards, because your outgo is more than your inflow, or you're being impulsive. You're being hasty. You're like, oh, yeah, I make good money. I can buy that. But really, the math is the math. And because you've never sat down and actually done the math, you don't know if you can afford it or not. So that's why we do that exercise together, so that we know exactly what you can afford to do without ending up in this spiral into debt, without being hasty. And also, when you say, can we go on a cruise? You know exactly if you can or not. Yes, we can't afford it. No, we cannot. Period. And sometimes it's about what your investments are doing. I have a lot of clients in retirement who say, okay, well, this is our strategy, is the years that the market does really well and we're up in our overall value, we're going to take a withdrawal from that. When the market gets our account value over this number, this watermark, we're going to take that money, and that's the year we're going to do the big cruise with our family. Or, hey, when the market's really down, we're going to take it easy that year. We're going to just have a staycation. So there are ways, again, all these different ways, all these different strategies to get you to just being so successful and living in abundance, which is what the Lord wants for you, because he wants you to be organized. Debt management. You know, if you get to where you're struggling with debt, number one, dial it back. You have to stop spending. You can't keep going. You have to limit what you're doing, slow down, and then you have to start putting more money towards the debt. You have to pay it down. You have to, sometimes maybe it's a matter of paying weekly when you get your paycheck, paying biweekly can cut down the term of a loan sometimes. Maybe you need to convert credit cards to closed end personal loans with an actual payment and an end to the means, because the credit card could go on and on and on and on. Spending freeze, that's where I call that. Just like temporarily pause spending, redirect those funds to the credit cards. You can look for opportunities to increase your income. Obviously, there's an income issue. If you're either overspending things that you don't want or need, or you really need to increase your income in order to meet the lifestyle that you're trying to live. And that means aggressively seeking other work, maybe a roommate, your spouse gets a job, whatever you have to do to create more income, side hustle, there are things. Anything you can do to boost your income, asking for a raise at work. Sometimes we just have to go for it. Downsizing, selling assets. Maybe it's time to sell some stuff to pay off debt. Negotiating with creditors. Sometimes you can call the creditors directly and request some sort of settlement. So save up the money and then call and say, we'll pay it off if you'll accept this much. But the key is to coming up with a strategy to get rid of the debt and dialing in that budget so that you don't end up in more debt. Okay. Insurance. Reviewing your insurances. So many times what ends up happening is someone buys life insurance because so-and-so got licensed and sold them a policy, or maybe they bought a term policy online, got some through work. People don't really look at life insurance typically as something that they need to review very often. Once they get it, they pay for it, they go on. Well, as you age, anyone who has had life insurance for or policy for a long time, it's important for you to review that policy because the truth is mortality tables have updated. So what does that mean? That means that people are living longer. And these charts and the data that they use to value the premium that you're paying, so how much you pay versus how much they pay you, changes whenever, I mean, it has changed in your favor. So it changed in your favor, meaning that a lower premium buys a lot more life insurance because people, instead of dying at, are living to 100 versus 80. So there's more premium to be made by the insurance companies. Therefore, they're paying you a larger death benefit. Another big change in life insurance is that the benefits of life insurance has changed. So you might have a policy from years ago, but the exact same policy today would also give you long-term care coverage. It would also possibly give you income, tax-free income that you could be taking right now if you need it. Maybe you could use that income to pay for assisted living or part-time care that you need at home, or to buy a car, or to offset expenses, or to keep you from having to take income from your investments. So there's a lot more options with the life insurance policies today than there used to be. A lot more flexibility. And we want you to take advantage of that, but you don't, if you don't shop the policy, and typically what happens, let's say you have a cash value in your policy, they will transfer that cash value right over to the new policy and could possibly be a, I've seen where they roll it over, and now you have a policy that you no longer have to pay a premium on for the exact same amount of death benefit or more. And now it's a paid up policy, something so simple. And they're usually very easy to get approved for. And you can look up also on YouTube on my channel, The Mindy Molina Show, and look up our show on IULs and how powerful they are. For anyone who's young, especially, this is an incredible investment tool, life insurance. It's a way to create a retirement strategy down the road. But it's just one of those things that has a lot more flexibility that's available to you now that may not have been available to the older generation, and can give you disability benefits, can give you tax-free income through their loan provisions, build cash value. You can, there's so many ways that you can utilize it. And, you know, the reality of it is if you, life insurance is good, you know, when you die, because you're leaving a benefit to the people that need it, your beneficiaries, maybe it's your children. Maybe you, now you have the life insurance and your beneficiaries don't really need the money, but they're going to get it tax-free. Maybe you have a life insurance policy in order to offset all the income taxes that are going to be owed on your IRA accounts that you're leaving to your children. Either way, review the policies. If you haven't looked at those policies in a long time, you want them to be organized and you want them to be up to date, current, the most modern ones. The other thing is annuities. So a lot of, you know, because annuities have these long surrender charges, typically 10 years, people get them and then they hold them for the 10 years. You don't have to do that. One of the things is that interest rates change. Why would a person not keep it for the full 10 years? Well, because other annuities come on the market that may be offering a higher interest rate. They offer higher bonuses. So yes, you have a surrender charge. Maybe your surrender charge is 5%, but the bonus to go to another insurance company is 20%. And so people move for those reasons. But if you are just burying it in a file cabinet and never reviewing it, you might be missing out on a lot better opportunities that have come on the market since you originally took that out. And maybe your needs have changed. Maybe you no longer need the income that you originally took it out for, and you're paying a fee to provide this income benefit that you're never going to use. And that year over year is going to continue, where you could be having no fee and you could be increasing your death benefit or cash value instead of the income value. You could be increasing the cash value so that either you have access to it to just spend it on something amazing, or leaving it to your beneficiaries in a higher amount than you would be if you keep the one that you currently have. So needs change, ideas change, the products themselves change. These insurance companies go out and they buy these big blocks of, so for when I say block, I mean money. So they say, okay, we're going to have $300 million in this offer. And then rates change. So everybody that took an annuity out under that offer, rates change, and now they have a better offer in that block. So you always want to shop it. There's opportunity, okay? Organizing your financial documents. Oh, insurance though. Wait, before we go into that, I forgot. Homeowner's insurance, okay? Car insurance. These things, you also want to have those updated, current. Make sure you're getting the best deal. And putting a little thought and effort. It's a simple phone call. Go online, download the app. If you can save, do it. Save. And, you know, I am a fan of certain insurance companies because they've done right by me. I like their technology. So there's sometimes where I'll choose one insurance company over another for my car insurance, homeowner's insurance, just because I like how they do business. Your health insurance, you have open enrollments. Make sure you're on top of that. Make sure you know when your enrollment is, whether it's Medicare or private care or private health policies. Make sure that you know when your enrollments are and that you're taking advantage of those, okay? And keeping everything organized and up to date. Speaking of organized financial documents. So what I do, we have a portal that my clients can upload statements, upload wills, trust, any type of financial documents that they want to keep and not worry about getting lost. We can upload those into digital files all in one place, and then you have no physical threats to those documents because of a hurricane or flood or mold or anything, fire. You don't have to worry about that because they're in the cloud, as we call it, under your portal. And insurance policies, deck pages, all these things that we've been talking about. And then this report. So whenever you work with me, you get a financial report that has your budget, has your expenses, has all of your assets, has everything organized very nicely in one report. And we all obviously keep that report in there as well. So it's very easy. Under one login, you can find all of your files. But at home, the best thing to do, there's no reason to keep all these statements. As a matter of fact, I'm a big fan of digital statements getting emailed, because then you can retrieve them from your emails. I don't do paper. I'm getting away from paper as much as possible because I had a bad experience with mold and lost all my documentation. And it was just, you know, I know how powerful it is to have things digital, because you can access them in the cloud no matter what happens in your life. Like, for example, all these people in North Carolina who lost everything, they lost all their files. All your records are gone. And if you have them in the cloud, that's not the case. You can still access them. So I really encourage you to do that, because how many of us know our bank account number? How many of us know our policy, life insurance policy number? If you were to lose everything and your kids how are they going to find this information? It's good to have it in a digital portal where you can access everything and it's all organized and up to date and safe. You know, it's a vault. It's in a vault. It's not, it's a digital vault, but still you have your, it's encrypted. So you have your access and that's how that works. But getting organized, you don't have to save documents. You know, I sit down with people and I will shred so many things. And but I will organize the files for the things that are really important. Insurance policies, for example, definitely keeping like your year-end statements. I like to keep those. Your tax returns, keeping those. These things that you can refer to locate. You want to have something in order to locate all of your financial information. So you don't have to keep 12 months worth of statements, but certainly have one. You want to have a reference to at least know that it exists. And you can usually keep that in one file. I'm happy to do that. I help my clients get organized all the time. It's part of what I love to do. I think one of the reasons I love my job so much is because I love to financially organize and help people get all of their affairs in order and get everything checked off the list so that once you do that little bit of work, you're talking maybe, you know, two meetings. Now you are so organized and guess what? Go on. It's not something you have to go back and keep reorganizing. Once you do it, it pretty much stays. It stays organized unless you purposely, you know, go out of your way to mess it up. But once you build it, it's good. Identifying your clear-cut financial goals. This is a really big one. And this is where I think a huge problem exists in upper middle class, especially because they're making a ton of money. And it just kind of, you're working, you're busy with your business, you're busy with your career, you're diving in, you're making money, and it's just kind of falling where it falls. And a lot of times it's just, you know, ends up at the bank, ends up here, ends up there, invested with this person, invested with that person, a friend of a friend, the neighbor, whoever that calls you and solicits you, you're in. And instead, it's like, I don't know, if you were building a house, the very first thing you do is get the plans for the house. And that way everybody else knows what to do. So if anything, get a plan. And if your neighbor solicits you to be your financial advisor, you could show them the plan and say, well, this is what we're trying to accomplish. Where do you fit in? And instead of just winging it, I can't imagine a bunch of contractors showing up to build a house without zero plans or even a general contractor to give them insight. They're just like, oh, you know what? I have toilets. I'm run plumbing over here. Okay, I'm putting electricity here. It would be so random and pieced together where it could be so efficient and amazing if you just had a plan. So it's really important to establish clear financial goals. What are we trying to accomplish? When do you want to retire? Do you even know when you can retire? How long do you actually have to work? The majority of Americans don't know. Will you run out of money? They don't know. And if you want to know, you come and visit me, MindyMolina.com. I will help you understand whether or not you're going to run out of money, whether or not you can retire, and if not now, when can you retire? And if you need to make adjustments in order to retire, what do we need to do? So all of these things can be clarified as long as you're willing to put in a little bit of work and a little bit of time with me to get the clarity that you need. And everyone is always so pleasantly surprised. That's the fun part of what I do, is giving people peace of mind and hope and joy. Like, wow, I have something to look forward to. And I love it. I really do. Giving someone clear financial paths that are attainable when they realize how easy it is, I think they, again, are really, just gives them a lot of peace of mind and happiness. Peace is really good versus being unorganized, having no direction, having all these fragmented accounts and investments everywhere. They're pieced together. It just feels sloppy. And it also feels like you just aren't, you don't have it together. And we want you to have it together because you won't, if you have it together, that makes you that, in that verse, right? Being diligent, leading. Now you're leading your finances versus them leading you. And you don't make hasty, impulsive decisions that ultimately lead to poverty. Maybe not poverty today, but what about when you're 75 or 80? We don't want you to be in poverty then. So we have to do what we got to do now to make sure that you are leading your plan. You are implementing a plan instead of just aimlessly going to work every day and not taking advantage of the opportunities that are out there. You don't want to be in the dark for this next run of the market. You want to be invested in the right things. You want tactical investment managers that are ready to go, like soldiers, ready to go and ready to make money. So let's talk about that, though, because now let's say you're ready. You say, Mindy, I'm ready. I want to get organized. I want to get all my affairs in order. I want to know that I am taking advantage of every financial opportunity I can for myself, for my spouse, for my heirs, for my legacy, my estate, all of it. And one of the questions is, what kind of advisor do, once you have that all laid out, now what? Now how do you choose an advisor? So I'm going to tell you a few different types of advisors, okay? One are the insurance-only advisors. They call themselves financial advisors. They call themselves advisors, but they're actually insurance agents. I know because I'm also an insurance agent. I'm duly licensed, so I have an insurance agency and I have an investment firm. So this, from the insurance-only perspective, they're always going to talk you out of the market. Doom and gloom. There's going to be a black swan event. There's going to be a crash. What's going to happen if the market goes down? And, you know, you're going to run out of money and this is going to happen. They love to use these scare tactics to kind of push you over to the other side of safety, 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 protection, protection, which is the annuity side. Ultimately, they are annuity salesmen. They're not building you a financial plan. What they're doing is trying to pivot you to an annuity. And I write annuities. I'm totally on board with annuities. But what I'm trying to explain is they can't just be sold to you. They have to make sense in your financial plan. They don't make sense for everybody. And if it makes sense to get you from where you want to be, then great. But you don't want to work with just an insurance only advisor, because all you're going to get is insurance, insurance, insurance. Then there's the market advisor. This is someone who is, you know, a broker or a financial advisor. Yes, they're licensed to invest in the market, but they're not licensed for insurance products. So they don't know anything about insurance. They know enough to talk you out of it. They know enough about it to not present it to you as an option or a sure fit. They're not going to give you that as a possible solution or what I call opportunity, because they can't offer it. Because all they can offer is the stock market. So that's all they're going to support. That's where they're going to put all their emotion and passion, and they're going to drive you toward the stock market. Well, one of the problems with that is what I said before, a sequence of returns. Go watch that show. That's because if you're all in the market when you are retired and you have to take money and you're supplementing income, what happens when the market's down? Can you leave it alone and let it grow back? Not if you're relying on it for income. This is how retirements blow up and people end up running out of money. Because when that would have been a simple fix by utilizing insurance annuities to create an income and not rely solely on the market. So there are solutions out there, but you need to have access to all of them in order to be what I call a fiduciary. If you're going to be a fiduciary in the space of, you know, working with people 50 and older, then you definitely need to be duly licensed, because you're robbing your clients of opportunities that could possibly be what keeps them from running out of money. The hybrid of the two is really powerful. Not to mention things like life insurance, legacy planning, offsetting taxes, all the strategies that you can do to protect an IRA, excuse me, and all the taxes that you could be leaving to your heirs just using life insurance. long-term care planning, you know, we're just going to rely on the stock market to pay for long-term care. Being duly licensed is huge. So I highly recommend that you work with an advisor that's duly licensed. I am. You can call me. There's the difference between a broker, right, in an RIA. So brokers are licensed to sell investments. So what does that mean? When you sell somebody, it's just like being a salesman. You're selling certain investments, certain funds in order to make a commission. So if you come and they say there's three different options, well, this fund, Fund C, pays a higher commission than Fund A, but they all kind of do similar things, although Fund A has historically made more money, more interest. The broker is incentivized to offer you the Fund C because that's what pays them the most. And that's just Mother Nature, I believe, sinful nature, call it what you want, need. People tend to put their own needs before others. So the broker is going to want to get the higher commission. So they're going for that, right? A fee only, an RIA, which is what I am, offers advice. We sell advice. We sell guidance. We work with you. We get a fee. No matter what fund you get, we are incentivized to make you the most money. The more money you make, the more money we make. It's a win-win, same side of the table thing. So definitely look for an RIA and avoid brokers. And that's it. And get organized. Get organized. Take action. Do the things that you need to do in order to succeed and have abundance. In Jesus' name. This is Mindy Molina, and thank you for listening. Remember, God loves you, and there's nothing anyone can do about it. Thanks for listening. Join us next week. And remember, if you have any concerns about your financial picture, please reach out to us at 561-729-2778. There's a no obligation consultation. All you have to do is text or call 561-729-2778. Or you can reach us on our website at www.mindymolina.com. Mindy Molina Investments and Insurance has been protecting the retirement of families for 15 years. Information provided by Mindy Molina Investments and Insurance and/or its affiliates are for informational purposes only and is not intended to be relied upon as a forecast, research, or investment advice, and is not a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any securities or to adopt any investment strategy. Get your financial report at 561-729-2778. Or you can reach us at www.mindymolina.com.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you here on WCNO 89.9 FM.